97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemster with The Art of Potential Show. We have a very informative show in store for you today. We are talking with Betsy Smith of EL Consulting. Welcome, Betsy.
Thanks, Kristen. It's great to be back.
Well, I am having you back because your last show was so fantastic. My husband listened to it. He's like, this woman is good. Yeah, I know.
Yay.
So what we're going to be talking about today is how to become a professional speaker. We have so many people in the Triangle who are experts on so many different topics, and you know this better than anybody, you know, being around here for so long. But not everybody knows how to put their expertise out into the public and make a living as a speaker. And I know this is something you've been doing for a while.
Right.
So how... Let's just start with that. Tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are.
Okay. Needless to say, I've always been outgoing.
Shocking.
I've always loved...
You heard it here, folks.
I've always loved to be in front of people.
Yep.
And as my profession got started, I chose to join Toastmasters.
Oh, Toastmasters. Okay.
And that's... It's a great, great organization.
It is. And Sharon Hill, I just want to put in a plug for Sharon, who does a lot of radio on CHL.
Yeah.
She's one of the best Toastmasters.
And she's one of the big dogs at Toastmasters.
As she should be.
As she should be, yeah.
Another outgoing personality.
And what's good about that is if you're like me and you love to be in front of the room, then it helps you hone your skills. But if you're an introvert and you are petrified to be in front of a room, Toastmasters is a safe place to get over that.
And I don't know the exact statistic, but it's like, you know, 95% of people would rather be dead than speak in public or something.
Well, Jerry Seinfeld once said that public speaking is people's first fear. Being dead is their second.
Yeah, okay.
So his comment was, so I'd rather be the corpse than the speaker at the funeral.
Right.
So it is. Public speaking is, well, it's a risky thing to do.
It is, because you put yourself out there for other people to consume, to judge, to do all kinds of things
with. And my tip to people is, forget they're there to judge and to expect you to fail. I coach people to get up and think, everyone wants me to succeed.
Everybody loves me here, people.
That's right. That's right. Because if you can convince yourself that everyone wants you to succeed, then it's easy to talk to them.
Yes.
If you think they're all out to get you, then you get really tense.
Well, of course you do, because you're afraid you're going to die.
Right. And there have been very few stonies for public speakers in the past 20 years. So.
At least in our country.
Right. Exactly.
No matter how bad or outrageous what you're saying is.
Right.
So one of the first tips then you would give to people, regardless of what their topic is or anything else, is just go out and assume that the audience wants and is ready to fall in love with you or like you or, you know.
And they want to hear what you have to say.
Or they wouldn't be there.
They're there for a reason.
Right.
And you're probably it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Unless you're an association speaker and they have to, you know.
Even so. I had a friend tell me once, if you touch one person in your audience, you've done your job.
Well, that is a great way to do it.
Yeah.
That really is. I had a cousin of mine say, if you physically touch one person in the audience, it's like touching the whole audience.
Right.
I had not heard that. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, I had not heard that before.
Yeah.
I've yet to put it into play, but it makes...
Well, after you do, please report. Let me know if it works.
I'll let you know if I'm still alive.
You'll be alive.
Like I'm the first person to get stoned.
The other tip I give people who are thinking about public speaking to build their business or just to get practice is speak about something you know.
You know, sound like,
I can tap dance with the best of them.
Right.
But if you don't know it, don't talk about it.
It sounds like you've heard some people who have gotten up and spoken about things they don't necessarily know about.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they don't know about it, what they're doing is either reading or reading their PowerPoints or whatever. And speak about something not only that you know about, but that you love.
Mm-hmm.
That you
care
love,
about.
And that you care about. And that you truly want to share it with other people.
Well, and it conveys a different energy. When you are getting out there and you're talking about something you love and you care about, it's just a different energy that you're sending out into the crowd, one that they can receive better to.
Right.
Yeah.
And it goes from, I have to tell them this, to, I am so excited to share this with them. It made a difference in my life. It's made a difference in other people's lives. I think it's fun. I think it's exciting. Whatever it is. But be it and embrace it and share it.
So when you go up to public speak, you're sharing. You're not speaking as much is what I hear you saying.
I have a conversation.
Okay.
When I speak, and the last I spoke to the North Carolina project managers last March to 350 people, and we had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to have the skill to be able to ask a question of the audience, let them answer it, and then go on. Now, I've heard motivational speakers who never draw a breath, right?
Wow.
And they're inspirational, and they're passionate, and they're fired up. And that's not my chosen style.
Right, right.
My chosen style is to have a conversation, ask a question, answer the question, get the audience involved.
So style sounds like a big piece of what you need to think about if you want to become a public speaker.
Right.
Because I'll tell you, my style is the exact same as yours. Because honestly, when you get up and you speak to a group, if they're not interacting with you, it's not nearly as much fun.
No.
And they're not thinking about the material either necessarily in self-application
well,
of what you're saying.
We know from being educators is right. that if you tell it, they may get it.
Right.
If you ask it, they will.
Right.
They will.
Right.
And even when I taught, I wasn't much of a lecturer. I was what we call the Socratic method of teaching. It was always about asking questions and getting people involved. And, oh, my God, those small group exercises.
They loved you, didn't they?
They did. You know, the E's loved me. The I's thought, oh, do I have to go back in there one more time?
I'd rather sit in my room alone. I saw this great poster. It said, I's unite. Or introverts unite in your own homes.
Yeah, really. One at a time.
Right. So, okay. So we know that if you want to become a public speaker, the first part really is thinking about yourself and where you want to start, what's comfortable for you. Getting comfortable with the Toastmasters is a great idea. I don't know when Sharon Hill's group meets, but I'll put a link to that on my website because she is fantastic. And it's, I think
and
they
are
mentioned
Toastmasters. Clubs
everywhere.
All over the place.
Yes, everywhere. And then figuring out your style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to be a Q&A kind of a person, a Socratic? That's how you should bill yourself. I'm a Socratic.
Oh, yeah, because so many people would understand it. Yeah, I'm all about that.
And be passionate about what you talk about.
Right.
So
right.
So what did you talk to the public
project
or
managers?
Project managers about?
I talked about the three secrets to leadership: communication, values, and results.
Okay.
And it went from, instead of telling people what to do, fashion it so that it's a question, or fashion your direction so that they can engage in that. Then we talked about...
How do you mean engage? Like, I'm a visual. I'm trying to imagine you speaking, so engage would be the question-answer type of
right.
thing? Okay.
Right. Because, you know, Gallup did some research that showed that only 30% of the people working really were in the right job. They
yeah.
were in the job where their strengths were capitalized.
Right. right.
And when they were engaged. So what does
right.
that mean to a business? If your people are engaged, they want that business to succeed.
They do.
It's
yes.
their business. And
yeah.
and some big corporations call it now the entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
But it is it is not just I go to work, I punch the time clock, and I leave. It is I want to make a difference here.
Right. This is important to me. This more is important than my paycheck.
Right. Well, I don't know about more important.
Let's be real.
We can go down that road, right too. You know, my esthetician said to me recently, you know, I don't do this for the money. And so I said, okay, I won't pay you. Which is a whole other thing about women and money and all that stuff. And then values. I think it's important that people know what their values are. Get really clear on that.
Yes.
So that when they go to work, they can know if their values are in alignment with the company's values.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing with public speaking. If your value is to get people engaged, to make a difference, to have them leave wanting more, then that's one way you present.
I like that. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about how to become a fabulous public speaker. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show. Please take a moment to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemster with The Art of Potential Show, and I am talking with Betsy Smith of EL Consulting. So, Betsy, we're talking about how to become just a fabulous public speaker. One of the things that public speakers want to do is to make money doing public speaking. How does one go about doing this? I'm sure it's so easy. You pick up the phone, you call,
you say,
pay me, and they say, oh, we've been waiting for you.
Exactly. Oh, I've been waiting for your call. Many people go, I don't get commissions from Toastmasters or the National Speakers Bureau, but of Speakers Association. But that's one route of many people go. They join the National Speakers Association. That way they find out about agents and people who place speakers.
Okay.
And then they know what their market is.
Yep.
And the person knows how to place them. So people who do a lot of keynotes, they usually go through some agency.
Okay.
Which is not inexpensive.
No.
So if you're a beginning speaker, you've got some choices to make. And it's kind of the chicken or the egg. Do I try to place myself? Or do I pay an agency to place money?
So an agency agent calls up organizations and says, we have this great speaker.
They actually have a data bank of organizations who want speakers on leadership, or organizations who want speakers on microbiology, or organizations who want speakers on stress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like anybody else, that's your business.
Right.
That's what they know.
Right.
And some of those agencies, businesses, speakers bureaus is another word that they use, will screen you to make sure that you are in that genre that they have the most.
I would hope they would all screen you. It doesn't sound like they all do.
Well, I don't mean to intimate that they don't.
Right.
But, so that's one way. Another way is to be really clear about to whom you want to speak.
Okay.
And then you call them.
Mm-hmm. And you say, this is.
And you say, I'm Betsy Smith. I'm a coach, an author, and a speaker. My specialties are women in leadership. I think I'm a good fit for your organization. I will call the Women Attorneys of Wake County, or Women in Engineering, or Women in Construction, to their professional organization.
Where do you find these professional organizations?
Online.
Okay, so you do a Google search.
I do.
And just
yeah. And that's a real key for people who want to speak, and that is get really clear on who your market is. Because if your market is executive and professional women, and you go speak to an organization that's not primarily executive and professional women.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had a good time.
Right.
But you've probably not made any money, nor will you attract clients from that. And those of us who love to speak will go speak anywhere.
Right.
And you've got to train yourself to be really selective about what groups you go to.
Which, you know, if you're trying to make it as a speaker, has got to be tough because you know, I don't know what the speaking fees are, but it seems like if there's money, you'll go to the money.
Some do.
Yeah.
Some do. And I don't know this, but I never fail to give my opinion, whether anybody asks it or not. But if you just go to the money, you're probably not going to make a much difference with that organization or with that group. I mean, you may get a $10,000 paycheck, but at the end of the day, was it fun? Did it make a difference?
Well, it did to your wallet.
Well, it did. You know, you made your house payment another couple of times.
But, yeah, so it almost sounds like what you're advocating is find your niche.
Right.
And not exploit, but that's the where to stay. So then you have to get clear on, does your niche have any money? Because I'll give you an example. I work at East Chapel Hill High School, and I had this lovely woman give me a call, and she said, hey, I want to come talk to your school about my journey dealing with depression and coming out of it. Which we have a lot of students who, you know, that would have been an interesting topic, but it wasn't something we would have paid for.
Right.
And so, you know, I appreciated her calling me, which was huge. But I was interested to see, and I never followed up with her, but I wonder where her journey took her. Because there aren't a lot of people who will pay to hear, you know, maybe in a written book or something like that.
Right. If you've written a book and then you've got your platform, as they call
right.
it. But I suggest to you, if she thought she was going to get paid by high school,
yeah.
she doesn't know speaking.
Right, right.
She's probably really not in with
right.
it.
No, it was clear she wasn't, and she was wet behind the ears. But that was, you know, one of the things that I, you know, even it's like, oh, you know, this is going to be a hard sell. I don't know how you're going to get, because schools don't have money.
Right.
You know, that's
well,
not
to spend on things right. that might not to spend on things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So what does a speaker look for then in terms of finding places with money? How do they find those places? Because if you Google a place, you don't know if they are paying speakers or how that's working out.
Well, you know, in professional conferences.
Yes.
Speakers are paid.
Right.
So that's a surefire bet. That if you go speak to the National Association of High School Counselors
right.
and you're the keynoter,
right.
you're going to get paid.
Right.
If you're willing.
But you won't if you do a breakout session.
I was just about to say, if you're willing to do a breakout session because you think that's a strategic marketing strategy for you,
right.
then you won't get paid.
Right. But then you have to be able to leverage it too.
That's right.
Right. So how do you go about doing that? Because I do think that's where some people get caught. You know, they'll go out and they'll do all these things, but then turning that opportunity and kind of converting it to a paid gig is tough.
It is. And it's uncomfortable for people.
Yes.
Because what you've got to do is connect with your audience.
Right.
Make sure that they are getting value. And then make the offer from the stage. And that is, maybe it's a complimentary session. Maybe it is a follow-up phone call based on something. And then you've got to, after you do that follow-up, understand that your job is to convert them to a client.
Okay.
Not, and shift from, oh my God, I don't want to have to sell them on this, to I can help them.
Right. And they'll pay. You know, it's like going to a doctor. Right.
But if you go to a breakout session and you do a great presentation and people are engaged and they're talking about it when they leave, but you don't have a follow-up, you can't expect that they will.
Right.
Because that's not their mindset.
No, they're just there to receive information.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. You've got to be strategic and genuine and authentic and all those things. About saying, you know what I've told you or what I've presented or what the information is, and I can help you do it better, faster, cleaner, get rid of the pain, whatever that is. And for speakers who aren't at that level of $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 speeches.
Which is most people.
You got to look at this as a business, and you've got to look at it as doing what you love, providing a service, and getting clients, because that's your business.
Is it? So it sounds like you would advocate not just being a speaker, but also having a backup business behind the speaking to support you, like coaching or whatever, consulting
on some level. If you've chosen to be a motivational speaker,
right,
and you want to travel 3 times a week all over the country, the world, and get paid big bucks, then you don't have another business.
Right. It's just that.
That's what you do.
Yep.
And if you've written a book that's any good, that's good. But if you're like me and I don't want to travel 3 times a week all over the world.
Right.
I want to travel some and I want to speak to people that I'm connected with.
Right.
Then my business is I speak to get to know you and to tell you about my business.
Okay. I speak to get to know you and tell you about my business.
And let you get to know me.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about how to become a professional speaker. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and I'm talking with the wonderful Betsy Smith of EL Consulting. And Betsy is teaching us how to become an amazing speaker. So, Betsy, question to you, how do you develop your content and fit it to your audience? It's got to be one of the hardest things for speakers to do.
I would say no, it's not.
So there you have it. No, it's not.
Your content is your area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And your area of expertise you want to take to people who are interested in that.
Okay.
Who want to know about that. And probably one of the hardest things is to say, what are my 3 topics? Resilience and leadership. The 3 key secrets to leadership. Success through strengths. And stop.
Oh, okay.
And stop. And focus on 3.
So you don't give a whole menu. Like, do you want a little bit of A with C with a dabble of D?
I would say not.
Okay.
I would say, and don't you think that's the way it is with life, Kristen? We want to shotgun everything.
Right.
And so, what I coach people to do is focus. Choose 3.
Yep.
Develop them. Match them up with people that want to hear it. Live into that. And then if something new comes along, then add that. But if you have a selection of 15 different topics, you're just going to shotgun it to everybody. And people will think, how can they be an expert in all those?
Right.
And what you've got to be is the expert.
In your field.
In your field. Right. What you're talking. And when you get really clear on what your content and your topic is, then you get really clear on who wants to hear that and where are they.
And where are they physically? Where are they mentally? Like,
where are they physically? Where do they go? Do they go to association meetings? Do they go to Rotary? Do they go to National Association of Women's Business Owners? Where do they go? That's your market research. And that's where you want to speak. Now, some speakers, and especially some people who provide services, choose to offer workshops.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
They'll open it up and they'll have registration for workshops. Well, that's all really good, but you're not really targeting when you do that. And I don't like to do that. Now, if some organization says to me, I want you to come in and do a 3-hour workshop on communication, right, I'm all over that.
Right.
But I don't want to find the place. I don't want to have to bring the refreshments. I don't want to worry about the AV.
It's your job, not mine.
Right. I just want to go in and speak and make a difference. Now, some people love that other stuff,
right,
which is cool.
Right. That's their
thing.
But
I've just chosen to go where they are, not offer and hope they come.
And I like that. And again, this is one of the things that we see a lot in education. And I know you've seen this too, where you get, and some people see it in their at-home mailboxes, you get all kinds of mailers telling you about different workshops coming up. And sometimes they're relevant if you're interested in buying a house. There might be a home buying workshop. They did one of those on Modern Family. there's all kinds of different workshops out there that people can sign up for. But to your point, you're dependent on people registering for it. And people who don't know you, how much of the speaking business would you say is word of mouth?
I would say more than 50%.
More, yeah.
Right. Not when you're starting, because when you're starting, there's no word of mouth because you haven't spoken. But if you're really good, then people pass that on, and I don't know, the Project Managers Institute will recommend you to some other institute.
Yeah.
You know, conference planners.
Yes.
Conference planners are very attuned to those speakers that really light people up.
So where do you find the conference planners?
Well, you Google conference planners. I mean, there's an association.
Google is where it's at, people.
Exactly.
Where
there's an association in every city.
There is.
There's, you know, there's statewide associations there. And that, again, it is, who do I want to speak to and where are they?
So getting clear on who, well, your message, who wants to hear it, therefore that's who you want to speak to and where are they located.
Right.
And leadership, it seems to me, is like one of those universal topics. Like, who doesn't want to talk about leadership?
Right.
And, you know, communication. So there's some, it seems like, hot button topics where you can go and...
And resilience is really big now. And I did a, like I told you, I did a talk on resilience as a leadership skill. And after I did that talk, my husband said, I hear that word all the time now.
Yeah. It was all you, Betsy.
It's awareness.
You heard it here first.
I am again. The champion right here.
Betsy said it and it is now a buzzword in today's society.
Right. But, you know, Becky Sansbury does resilience at a very much deeper level with catastrophic catastrophes that happen. But my resilience is, how do you bounce back when you've been laid off?
Yeah.
How do you bounce back when you get a new boss and they hate you?
Right.
Through no fault of your own.
Right.
You know, how do you gear up and bounce forward, not just bounce back, but bounce forward?
So who would be your target audience for that talk? Because you have laid off people, which probably they're not paying a lot to go hear a speaking.
And again, it's associations, Kristen.
Okay.
Because they're still there.
Right.
That's how they're networking, through their professional associations.
Right.
So it's not so much going to...
That is definitely, especially laid off people are...
Right. And I had a friend who was laid off for quite some time, and he kept going to these... support groups at churches and job seekers and things like that. And finally I said, yo, Peter, don't you think you might want to go where people are working?
Right.
Because, I mean, I understand. I speak to those groups too.
I do, yeah.
But that's not where you're going to get paid or get clients. You want to do that because that's part of your community service.
Right. No, and to your point, I speak a lot to the career groups. I did a talk, Step Up. They're wonderful, wonderful people. But if you are going there more than, you know, on rare occasion, that's not the way you're going to get hired.
not if you're going to be a paid professional speaker.
Right.
Now, if you're a paid professional speaker and you want to do that because it's community service.
Right, yeah.
That's great.
That's fine. Right.
Yeah. Again, it's about being selective and strategic about how you spend your time, how you spend your energy.
Right. No, because I will say when you do a presentation, what would you say is the amount of time you spend on the back end to give, we'll say, an hour talk?
If it's an hour talk that I haven't done before, I probably spend 6 hours getting ready.
Okay.
Doing the research, putting it together. Now, it's interesting.
I think it's interesting
because I don't script my talks.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I write in PowerPoint.
Okay.
So I never have a script.
Yeah,
I write in
PowerPoint.
Yeah, I understand.
So you have the flow of the talk.
And quite honestly, Kristen, if I'm not really comfortable with a topic, I'll hand it off because, I'm from Texas. I can BS with the best of them. But I'd really rather not most times. And there are people who are experts in everything. So if it's not a good fit for me, and I'm going to have to spend not 6 hours, but 106 hours.
Right.
Then I'm making 25 cents an hour.
Right. It's not good math.
No, it's not good business.
Right. And so one of the things that I think is important, and we'll talk about this more, but is paying attention to the bottom line.
Right.
So how would you advise people to do that?
My advice is know what you want to make a year.
Okay. Set your goal.
Even if you don't know, set a goal. $100,000, $50,000, I don't care
whatever.
What it is. Do something. And then back into.
Okay.
If I'm going to make $50,000, I've got to speak to this many organizations at this fee. Instead of, okay, if I choose to charge $5,000and I get to talk to 10 organizations, that's really great. Well, that's really great, but what was your goal? What?
Right.
This is a business.
Right.
And so if it's not a business, that's okay.
It is. It's totally fine.
But if you're a professional speaker,
right,
then that's your business. And you've got to look at it. You've got to look at it as your passion, because you love to do that.
Right.
But then you've also got to turn around and look at it as your business.
And this is what your fee is, and this
right.
is how
And be
it's
proud of that fee. And,
right.
And if you can't quote a fee proudly, then you're not in alignment.
Right.
You've got to know your value, and you've got to believe in that. And you've got to be able to tell people, and when they say, how much do you charge, tell them straight out. Now, if they can't afford it, they'll negotiate.
So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Betsy about how to mentally prepare yourself to ask for a fee. Because I think a lot of women in particular struggle with that.
Right.
So you are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Betsy Smith of EL Consulting. So, Betsy, one of the things that I think is particularly difficult for women is wrapping their mind around their value to an organization. I mean, I think for salary purposes, but I think that translates as well into public speaking. And I know that you have a lot of experience coaching around this.
I do.
It's one of the many areas of expertise you have. So what advice would you give women?
First, they have to really believe that what they have to say is valuable. They have to accept the fact that they are not just assuming the role of expert, that they are.
That they are
the expert in this. Now, in the new book that Cady Kay and Claire Shipman wrote, The Confidence Code,
mm-hmm.
they state research shows that women will ask, if they go to ask for a raise,
right,
they'll ask for 30% less than a man would ask for.
Okay.
Now, you and I both know that there are women who believe that if they think I'm doing a good job, they'll give me a
right.
raise. Well, that's not how that works. And it's the same thing with speaking. If you can't be confident in what you have to say and your ability to say it and the value you bring, not just who you are, but the value of your information, then you've got to get all of that together. You've got to wrap your arms and head and heart around that.
Right.
So that when
it's almost a question of faith, almost. I mean, that's kind of what
yeah.
it you have yeah. faith in yourself.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting that women can have all the faith in the world in themselves, but when it comes to putting a monetary value on what they
right.
do,
right.
it's just really hard. So
we're not taught that way.
As we were, yeah, we're not socialized that way. So, going back to our other segment,
yeah.
decide what you want to make in 6 months or a year. Break that down, and then write it down. Have a rate sheet, and when people say, "What's your fee?" say
mm-hmm.
$5,000, $3,500, $10,000, whatever it is, and then be quiet.
Then say nothing.
And then stop. Now, don't say, my fee is $5,000, but I'll take whatever you have.
Right, right.
Or, I usually get $5,000. What's in your budget? My fee is $5,000 for a hour talk and let them respond. And they'll say, great, that's exactly what we had planned. They'll say, that's not in our budget. And if they say, that's not in our budget, then you say, so what were you planning to pay? And if they say $1,000, you say, you know, I don't speak for $1,000.
Right. All the time and effort it will take in preparation.
Because it's not the hour you're up in front of people. It's those 6 or 12 or 20 hours. You're preparing for it. It's the degrees you got. It's the training you got. And that's another shift we have to make from, oh, I'm just going to go talk about something I love, to, you know, I spent my whole life getting ready for this. I've invested a lot.
And I like how you're saying that. I really do. It reminds me of a story of Picasso. He jotted something on a napkin or something, and the person, you know, wasn't going to give him anything or peanuts for it. And he's like, no, I spent my whole life so I could do this. Right.
Yeah. And also, I think that women and men, too, when it's easy for us.
Right.
Well, we think it's easy for everybody. So
that's very true.
I coached a guy once, and one of his strengths was winning others over.
Yes.
And he was offered a new job, and he said to me, I don't know if I can do that because I got to be out in the community all the time. I said, of course you can.
You're a wooer.
You do it all the time. You just don't know you do it. That's why they selected you to do this. So
let's talk about strengths. Strength finders. Is it something that you like and something that you think people should get familiar?
I love it.
Okay.
I love
Tell
it.
Us
I use
why.
It all the time. I love it because it's an assessment that takes 20 minutes to do, and it spits out strengths that are different words, like woo. You know, we used to say I'm a people person.
Right.
But winning others over, and it explains to you how you do that. One of mine is maximizer. I always want to do it biggest, best, first. and that helps me understand why I accept or I don't accept some speaking gigs. If you use it in a team, in a business, then it gives you a common language.
It does.
And what I love about the Gallup organization who did StrengthsFinders is that their philosophy is play to your strengths and find someone who has strengths that are your weaknesses. Because if you spend all your time on your weaknesses, they'll never be strong.
Right.
And your
They'll never be organic to you.
No, and your strengths will just be okay. So give that up. Find somebody who loves Excel spreadsheets.
Get over it. Just
really?
Go right. Move forward.
Yeah.
No, and I will say, as people know, by day I work at East Chapel Hill High School, and the system has bought something called Naviance, which is terrific. But Naviance is merged with StrengthFinder so that all students can take the StrengthFinder assessments through that program. And it is amazing, you know, and to know that as a teenager or, you know, early in your life, that these are my strengths, and then the ability, to your point, to capitalize on them.
Right.
To turn them into something. And I think to do Strength Finders, you just buy the book and then you get the code.
There's actually one online now. You don't even have to buy the book.
Oh,
you can
wow.
just go online. I like people to buy the book because then you have the backup.
Right.
You have the explanations. And not only is it the explanation of your strengths, it's the explanation of how do you communicate with someone who has a strength that's not yours. Like, how do you...
With a different strength, right?
Really, like responsibility. You know, I'm a big picture person. My co-author for the book who had responsibility, that's a good thing.
Right, that's a nice pairing.
She had a list every day.
Right.
Saturday, Sunday. It was good.
You complimented each
that's
other.
Right.
That's right. While you're thinking big, she's like, no. Period at the end of the sentence.
Right. We have to finish the book before we can sell it.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Well, Betsy, why don't you tell us how people can get in touch with you? Tell us about your book. Tell us about EL Consulting and all that.
I have a couple of different market segments. The book is Second Blooming for Women, Growing a Life That Matters After 50. That's pretty self-explanatory. The other market segment are executive and professional women who are, for whatever reason, frustrated in their job.
For whatever reason.
You're right. Yeah.
Very good. And so if people want to reach out to you?
I'm at elsmithconsulting.com. Betsy at E.O. Smith Consulting, or you can find me on LinkedIn, of course.
Yes.
And you can call me at 919-651-0908. I feel like I'm at PBS.
Yes.
Pick up that phone.
Call. Well, do give her a call. And there's also all of her contact information will be on the Art of Potential's website. So you can just link there and go find Betsy that way. Thank you for listening. This has been the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.